goes higher. Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KersHire.com.au.
Time for a little bit of K-Rock football pre-season action and some massive news at the Geelong Football Club. We knew Colin Carter was standing down. He made that clear through 2020 that it would be his final year. And, of course, it was a result of course, the bylaw that he put in place in terms of serving on the board. As a result, we had to find a new president. And this man is no stranger to the Geelong Football Club, has been serving on the board for a number of years. And, of course, he's a Mad Cat supporter. And that's how we like them when they're presidents. When you think of Colin, Frank Costa, Ron Hovey over the journey, they've all been massive Cats, man. And, of course, Craig Drummond is one of those. And he's been good enough to join us on K-Rock Football. Craig, really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure, Tom. Nice to have a chat.
Let's talk about a little bit of Craig Drummond's background. You're big in the business world, but your passion for the Cats goes back a long way. When did it start for you as a fan of the Hoops?
Well, Kingy, I probably first of all recall late 60s. I was probably about 7 or 8 years of age. Mum and Dad were keen on my mum barracked for the Cats, and I lived in Leongatha in South Gippsland, and Mum and Dad were keen for me to go to bed pretty early as a youngster, and that interrupted the, at that stage, night footy. And so on my way to bed, I'd sneak into Dad's bedroom and Mum and Dad's bedroom and grab his radio, stick it under the pillow and listen to the game. And I would admit that I did shed a few tears for the Cats in that period because we weren't all that special at that time. And so that was probably my first memories. And then, look, I've been associated with the club for probably 15 to 20 years. I've been in coterie clubs. I was on the board. In fact, I was on the board for a period of probably 4 or 5 years when I was living in Sydney for work. And that meant that I got to know Avalon Airport very, very well. I'd come down for all the board meetings, fly into Avalon, do the board meeting, and then go home that night. And I'd probably get to about 15 games a year. So I'd come down most weekends when the Cats were playing at Cadinia Park, GMHBA, and watch the game and then go back. So really passionate about the footy, but equally, as a director, understanding that strong delineation between what an executive, the role of the executive and the role of the board is really crucial.
Yep. What's your first memory of going to a Geelong game and who were your heroes?
Well, Doug Wade was a big hero of mine. Billy Ryan, just because he, Billy would be up with the aeroplanes taking those specky marks. But I do remember standing on the Moorabool Street wing, and it was pretty muddy over there in those years, Tom. It was muddy in the centre of the ground, but it was pretty muddy. And I remember having to stand as a kid on, find a few beer cans and stand on the beer cans and watch the game. But gee, having the facilities come a long way since that period. And sure, we're passionate, just as passionate then as we are today. But we're fortunate today, the quality of the facilities, the quality of the ground, but we're just as passionate, mate.
Yeah, fans don't know how good they've got it now, do they?
Absolutely.
So you made your way in the business world, and talk to us about your business dealings and where you're at now and I suppose how that fits in around being president of an AFL club.
So my background, I'm a chartered accountant. I did commerce at Melbourne Uni and then worked my way through a chartered accounting firm, KPMG, went into stockbroking, investment banking. I spent probably a total of just under 30 years in investment banking at two organisations, JB Weir, Goldman Sachs, JB Weir, and then Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. Then I was chief financial officer of National Australia Bank for just under 3 years. And then took the role of CEO of Medibank Private. And so for me, Tom, I suppose as chair of the finance committee, which is probably the role I've, plus the foundation role inside the club, but chair of the finance committee has been a role in the club that I can use my finance skills and background to help the club, which is probably, the area I've spent most time and effort in the club over the last few years.
Those skills have been put to the test in the last 12 months. How tough has it been as, you know, the chair of the finance committee, and I'm guessing your dealings with Colin and Brian on a daily, or probably a daily or almost hourly basis, it would have been at times, I suspect.
Yeah, as you heard Brian say publicly, we were looking at potentially a very significant loss, operating loss, in the early phase of COVID. We just didn't know whether the AFL could get a competition away for the year, and the implications for sponsors, for members, for anyone, you know, any of the stakeholders involved in the club. So it was very challenging. What I can say is, Cookie said that we were potentially facing a $10 million loss. We ended up the year with an operating profit of just over $1 million, a consolidated loss of $2.7 million. I think the club has done an amazing job to get through and endure what has been a very challenging period. But unfortunately, that has meant it's come with a cost, and the cost has been some good people have left the club, and the existing people at the club have also taken some pain in terms of lower compensation. And yet their roles, if anything, we've asked them to do more through 2020 and into 2021. But, you know, there's no one prouder than me of how this club has come through COVID and dealt with COVID. But I would say that, you know, 2021, there's still uncertainties, significant uncertainties. We look at it optimistically, hopeful that at a bare minimum we get 50% crowds at the start of the season, hopefully something closer to 75%.
Cookie spoke about having a number of scenarios in terms of games last week at the announcement of the Ford sponsorship extension. Oh, I suspect you've been heavily involved in those discussions with Cookie in regards to budgeting and what those scenarios look like.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you do in times of uncertainty, you've got to plan for the downside. You plan for the downside and hope for the upside. So Simon Kelleher, the CFO, Brian Cook, CEO, have been magnificent with the rest of the team in thinking through scenarios and having a set of scenarios that you can go to if you need to go to. But as I said, Tom, we're hopeful that we can get as normal a season as possible. But just understand that there are risks, and therefore you need to plan for them.
Just back on taking over the presidency, when did it become apparent that you were the man to replace Colin? And I suppose when those talks take place, do you get a level of excitement about, gee, this is the club I grew up barracking for, and now I'm going to be their president?
Well, I could be no more privileged and proud to be one associated with the Geelong Football Club, because everything this club has stood for under the leadership of Frank Costa, Colin Carter, Brian Cook, and the executive leadership team at the Cats has been outstanding. It's a highly principled and valued, values-driven organisation. So just that mere association, I think we feel incredibly, and me personally feel incredibly privileged to be associated with. I think, Tom, the discussions, you know, Colin has completed 10 distinguished years of service with the club, and Colin had been indicating for a period of time internally that, that the end of 2020 would be the period, or the AGM would mark the period of his departure. So I suppose the board's had conversations over the last few months, four or five months, about who might be appropriate. And, fortunately for me, the board thought that I'd be an appropriate candidate to replace Colin.
So only two presidents in this century. Are you looking at a similar length tenure if it plays out that way and retain that stability that the club's had since Frank came into the role in about 1998?
Tom, look, that hasn't been discussed, and I'm here to serve the pleasure of the members and also the existing board and executive. But, of course, we go to an election every 3 years, so rightly so. The board, the management and the board should be scrutinised by our members, I'll take it from there. But I have been on the board for a while, so I'm a believer. I come from a school of belief that you get in, you make an impact, and you move on, rather than sitting in a role for a very extended period of time. That's not traditionally the school I've come from.
Yep. Geelong have been so fortunate, though. There's been no board upheavals. We haven't sacked a coach in more than 30 years. In terms of stability, I think 17 other clubs would cry out for what Geelong's had.
I think it's important, Tom, and I think if you go back and look at on-field performance does in part, in meaningful part, correlate with the quality of off-field stability and performance. And I think we have, the club and its members have a lot to be thankful for in the current executive and Costa Carter stability, if you like, through the past 20-odd years. So we'll be aiming to replicate that. There are no egos on our board or in our management. We are here to serve, as I said, the members and the members' best interest, and we are here to win premierships.
You've spoken publicly a couple of times. Obviously, last week's AGM, you were very brief, and you said that it was a night to thank Colin rather than, I suppose, lay down your mantra and your MO for what was to come. And you spoke very briefly at the AFLW season launch as well. But you do have some plans for the club. Can you just take us through what you know you hope to achieve, especially in the first probably 6 to 12 months of your leadership?
Well, I think we've got a business plan, Tom, that's been put together by the executive and validated by the board. And within those business plans, and rather than looking perhaps at the next 6 months, looking at over the next few 3 to 5 years, we are looking and aspiring for 100,000 members. We are obviously here to win premierships. We are obviously looking to finish off the ground. So stage five, we'll hopefully start in October of this year, post the season. And while these dates are not set in stone, we'd be hopeful that the ground will be complete, stage five complete by May of 2023. And that would give us close to a 40,000 seat capacity. And clearly, the objective is to have 11 home games at Geelong, not seven, not nine, but 11. And we'll be pushing our case for that, as we will continue to push our case for home finals as and when they are deserved. I think additionally, two other things I'd say, Tom. One, we think community and connection with community continues to be very, very important. So the programs that Sarah Elbum and the team here run at the Cats, we will continue to invest in those community programs because social license to operate is a huge, huge thing for us. I think the final thing is financial sustainability. The club has, under the current management and board, made a decision that gaming is not consistent with our values. So we have exited all gaming-related advertising and venues. We are now out, and we have started to invest some of those proceeds into the Geelong Gym. And we will. The objective and the strategic objective is to build out our higher mark catering business and our gymnasium and health and wellbeing business. We think that those businesses that are in our DNA are much more consistent with our overall strategic objectives.
Yep. Can I just go back, and you talked about getting to 11 home games, and Colin has spoken about it, and Brian as well, that would be the ideal. You know, in a perfect world, is Easter Monday at GMHBA Stadium against Hawthorn in 2024, something you'd love to see?
Well, I think we, every now and then that's not a home game for us. So it will be, I think there's opportunity still to have that type of game at the G. But in terms of home games, I think having, continue to have and build to get some bigger clubs down playing at GMHBA is an objective and should be an objective of ours, particularly if we have 40,000 seat capacity. There are many, there are a number of clubs that play in grounds that don't have 40,000 seat capacity. Canberra is a good example. The GWS don't play to a home ground that's got 40,000 capacity. So I think there's plenty of precedent that suggests that we should you know, really push for an 11 home game opportunity.
Colin was very hands off the football department. He actually said until he went into the hub, he actually probably didn't have a great involvement with the football department. And I suspect that's a line you'll take as well, that, you know, people are appointed to run the football department. The board is the governance of the club, and you'll allow the football department to run based on the appointment you approve.
Absolutely. We think, Tom, we have, I'm completely aligned with Colin on this. The board is there to govern. It's there to select CEO. It's there to ensure reputational issues and all of those type of things are dealt with. It is not there to be picking at the selection table. It is not there to be second-guessing Simon Lloyd, Stephen Wells or Chris Scott's decisioning. And nor indeed is it to be second-guessing what the executive is doing in a day-to-day basis. It is, however, appropriate that we review, we get appropriate reporting and make sure that executives and the football department from time to time explain what they've been doing and how they're going about it. But you will not see me, you will not see our board in the football department or in the business on a day-to-day basis. That's not what the role of a board.
You mentioned Brian Cook there and how he runs the show as CEO. Brian's out of contract next year, and I think originally that was going to be it for him, but in the last week, the door's been left open to go beyond that. Do you get involved in those conversations now with Brian about what it looks like, or do you let it sit for a while and let 2021 play out?
Tom, I think, look, Brian has been outstanding for our club. Every stakeholder we talk to and you would talk to loves Cookie and loves what he's done for our club. We, as a board, we haven't yet started any formal or informal process, and that's something we'd look at later in the year. But I think what the objective is to keep Brian Cook at our club in a paid role going forward. But the objective also is to look internally and externally for a CEO, for the next CEO. And so we will do that at some stage through 21. But to be very clear, Brian Cook, our objective is to keep and I think Brian's pretty aligned with this, to keep Brian in a meaningful paid role around the club going forward, because he's someone that is has left and is leaving a huge impact on our footy club and still, I think, still has got a lot to offer.
Yep. Is there a potential that he may not be CEO necessarily, but there'd be another role created for him where he can still have an impact on the club?
Well, I think that's the objective, probably to look for a new CEO and for Brian to have an impactful role in our club going forward. As I said, would be paid, would be meaningful, and would be agreed with the board at some point through 21.
Yep. Craig, we've been very busy in the football department in terms of recruiting. Cameron, Smith, Higgins. Smith and Higgins near the ends of their careers. Jeremy Cameron's still got a lot of great football to be played and has come on a five-year deal, we believe. As a president and a fan, do you see that this is, well, we're really having a crack at winning a premiership here, and if we're not thereabouts, it'd be disappointing?
I think, Tom, our objective every year is to be, at the pointy end of the season, to be contending. And I think the club has over the last, since 2007 and perhaps even before, but since 2007 has been very much a top four contender. It's rare that we haven't been in the top four. Now, things have to go right. You know, you can have bad luck during a season. Who do you get on the park or keep on the park is one of those issues. But look, we think, on the basis of the people we have in the footy department, our coaches and the players that we have on the list, that we're giving ourselves a real shot to contend again this year.
Colin obviously had a massive impact on the football club, Craig. Do you, and Frank went into it, and I asked Brian this last week, but he wasn't sure of what the answer would be to it, but you might have a bit more clarity that, you know, Frank went into a patron's role. Is there a role for Colin that's, you know, just an ambassadorial role where his love of the club and his contacts in the business world that he still maintains can help influence the football club?
Very prescient question, Tom, because we, you know, I have been chatting to Colin about Colin Wood is very keen to remain involved in the club, and we're very keen to keep him involved because I don't, like Brian, I don't want to lose, and the club doesn't want to lose that sort of talent and the incredible knowledge that Colin has of the game, of the AFL, his connections into the AFL mean, from my perspective, look, I'm not precious and none of us are precious. We want the best outcome for the club, and we think the best outcome for the club is having access to the best people. And I think that's the driver of success in all organisations: recruit, retain, develop great people, and you'll get a great outcome. And so Colin very much sits in that mould for me.
Absolutely. Craig, I didn't ask earlier, your own footy, did you have a kick? You look like you sort of might have been a sort of your halfback flanker, just you know, rangy, you know, long kicking, you know, driving it down the outer wing somewhere.
I don't want to overplay my footy skills, Tom, but played a little more half forward, and wouldn't say that I was a goal sneak like G. Ablett or S. Higgins might be this year, but loved to keep fit. Still today, love to keep fit, and love to still have a bit of a kick in the backyard when the opportunity presents itself.
Fantastic. Colin always said he had 45 or 46 favourite players, and you know, you wouldn't get much out of him in terms of, I know he liked watching the little bald bloke in number 4 and previously number 29 when he was first in at the club. But is it players or players in this era that you've enjoyed watching?
I'd probably be more likely to talk about players that have come and gone rather than, you know, Cameron Ling to me epitomised, like Tom Harley, epitomised the ultimate leader, because would always put their body on the line in those critical moments where a game is there to be won. And I suppose Tom and Cameron would say that they perhaps were never as talented as some of their peers, but boy, what they didn't have in talent, they made up with judgment, the old G&D, and grit. And so it's probably, if I was to say, it's players that can seize the moment when the game's in the balance, when the ball's loose and you're running to a contest and you win those key moments. And, you know, we've seen those key moments in games where they've worked for us, and unfortunately last year where they haven't worked for us at particular points in time. But it's the player that stands up and you know, really makes an impact in the moment.
Yep. The bloke wearing number 14's done it pretty well for 14 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, Joel, there's probably no word that hasn't been used to describe Joel Selwood. But I think he, again, like, you know, haven't we been blessed with captains? If you think of the captains that we've had over the past 15 to 20 years, they have been inspirational. And it's, you know, one of the things that we try to do as a club, and I think we've done reasonably well, Tom, over the last 15 years, is build an organisation that people want to come and work at, whether they're on field or off field. And building that organisation in large part, revolves around the quality and calibre of your leaders.
Absolutely.
And so it's leaders on field and off field that sort of determine that.
Final question, Craig. You've been more than generous with your time. What type of spectator are you? Colin's a very placid man when it comes to sitting and watching. He loves his cats, but there was not a lot of emotion shown by Colin in the stands. But were you going to be Jeff and Eddie like, where they'll be panning to Craig Drummond and he'll be up out of the seat punching the sky, or are you a little bit more reserved than that?
I'm probably a little more reserved than that, Tom, but I must admit I'm probably a little more emotional than Colin as well. It still takes a while for me to get over losses. Perhaps not as long as some people in the footy department, but it does take a while. But equally, I think it's important that we show you know, we can show our stakeholders that we, you know, equally, we at critical times, we behave. We behave appropriately. We set an example for all of our members and our other stakeholders. So there's a balance. But, yeah, I'm probably a little more emotional than Colin on this point.
Well, Craig, congratulations on your appointment. You take on a role that is a very important one for the Geelong Football Club and has been done so brilliantly by the likes of Colin Carter and Frank Costa in this century, and you step into some massive shoes. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning, and we look forward to actually catching you in the EJ Witten Memorial Broadcasting Box at GMHBA Stadium throughout the year, and you can enjoy a little bit of K-Rock hospitality.
Excellent. Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate having a chat today. And all I can say is go Cats.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisette dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.